Okay, so we're holding here in the in middle of Baitomer, I think, and it's piece Choftes in the Agodis, and it's in the middle. He motzeis v'shulchol chamer. It says that she was being taken out, and she sent to her father-in-law asking if he recognizes who it is. So he says, so you might ask, he mitutseis mi boy le? He should have said, he mitutseis. That would be somebody who's being forced to get out. Omer Abeloza, la'achash nimtza simoneh bo asma v'richkon bo gavil v'kirva. There was a struggle. After they found the simonim, so Smael was the Sutton. He came and tried to be merachik her, and Gavril came as mekarva. So there's a long pasuk lamatzech al yonas ilaim rechoykim le David michtam. So Amr Beirchon, so the Chazal dashnit b'shosh and israch kusimoneh nasik yoni lemes. When Smol was pushing away the simonim, she became like a yona ilemes. Wouldn't respond, and le David michtam she yotza mimena David shemach v'tam lekoil. So David came out from her who was mach v'tam, meaning he was a very humble person, a very modest person, and so on. Davacha michtam she makosei tama she neilat shumahol. That dover is not shumol. The vacha michtam sheshu katnusa hiknatzmel shmishigol men olam teira kach begadlus hiknatzmel shmishigol men olam teira. The third pshat is also a pshat relating to David HaMelech's modesty, in that he was a somebody who was always mashpil himself to whoever came and to learn and so on. Okay, let's see Rashi a minute. So Rashi says he mitutzeis is mashma tzaloshin of bal karchot simoneh as the choisim. Smile, Rashi says in parentheses, that's the Sashal Edoim. V'richon teshitesor for lo yitzu Dov mimenu. Edoim particularly wanted that Dov HaMelech should not come out. That was his big issue. V'richon, v'yoynas elam rechoykem al iske harchoka shenas min rechoykem. So Chazal darshan very much like Hadrush, she became an ilaim because of harchoka. The David Michtam, the Oysa Shiruyev, the Medestas, and the David Shumach Onov, Vitam Tommy Bedrochov, and so on. Okay, let's take a look at the Maral over here. We saw it last time. I think we started last time. No, I believe I did that Maral on Al Yonas Ilam Rechoykim. The one before about Himoitzis. Ein lakshes dom yichtev kach and so on, and then it says he explains the last few lines of that paragraph. Vein sofik shamekatruk u'smol hoyamarchik v'gavril oymekarif kiladova dodel k'moyze v'yishasakana nimtza mekatruk sheitzus adova godel foil v'dova zerem is akosu b'loshu moitzis v'inahaginu. So the morale is pointing out that. How come the Mekatrik started up then? In other words, he's trying to understand what was the Mekatrik trying to accomplish. I understand in a Din Torah, Lamashal, when you're judging a person, whether or not he's a tzaddik or a rasha, you have a Mekatrik who's saying the bad things he did and a Sanhedrin saying good things he did. Over here, there doesn't seem to be any special reason. What was the Mekatrik doing over here? So he's Meramez in the following pshat, and I think this is the point that he means to say. Chazal say that a person should not put himself into danger because the Sotn is Mekatrik b'shas ha-sakana. And therefore, if a person walks by a wall that's shaking, Sotn is Mekatrik b'shas ha-sakana, you find different phrases like that, different frames where the Sotn is Mekatrik. So let's understand the way the normal Mahalach is. the normal mahal, just like in nature, Akash Baruch created the world with status quo. In other words, things that are at rest unless they're being pushed by something. And things that are in motion are in motion unless they're being stopped by something. That is the way in which things happen. So the same thing in halacha, you have a concept of a motzi mechaver l'varaya, that if a person is in any status quo regarding possessions, he's the onus of proof is on the person trying to break the status quo. So the concept of a status quo is something that is part of the mitzias of the world. So if a person is living and normal everything, we're going to need to find a reason for something has to come up to push him away, to push him off. Akash Baruch made a Yom HaDin once a year for many reasons, and at that Yom HaDin, there's no status quo. What happens on Yom HaDin of Rosh Hashanah is the status quo is over, and we start all over again. What they call in modern parlance in zero base budgeting. In other words, you don't normally a budget continues. This is the budget. And unless we have a reason to stop something, but and you can do it where every year you retain the old budget unless you have a reason to knock out an item, or you can do what's called zero-based budgeting, which is the other way around. You start with zero and you have to re-justify each element in the budget. So Rosh Hashanah is that type of din. Anytime a person is in a makom sakana, there is no longer a status quo of chiyus anymore. The person is not in a status quo of living. The person is now on a very shaky bridge. He now needs a pa'ula to keep him alive. In our case over here, there was a gzar din on her to be taken out to be burnt. So now we needed to have now we needed to justify saving her. Saving her was a maisa that would take her out of being burnt. So she came up with it. She had the simonim. But this was a makom for the kateger. The kateger can say, why justify her being saved? So the idea that a kateger would come up here, and I think that's what bothered the Maral. What did she do wrong? It was where did the kateger come along? So he says over here, "Vein sorcha mekatrik hu smor lo yemarchik, and nimtzah mekatrik shlo yitzah isedav agod lefal." Because, and this is more than anything, because this is the birth of Malchus based David. So anything that happens here is a new creation. You're bringing about, this mice is bringing about the Melech, and the male, there was a mockum for the Mekatrik. The interesting part is the flip side, I think I might have spoken about last time, is Gavriel is normally seen as the bad guy. Gavriel is Midas HaDin. Gavriel is Midas HaEish, and the Mashal says that's why Gavriel came along, because he's Midas HaEish, and he dafka went to save. It's very reminiscent by Hanani Mishal Nazaria, with the one who saved them from the fire was Malach Gavriel, because dafka, they wanted that the Eish, which normally burns things, should be something that saves. And the logic behind it is, the understanding behind it is, Eish is a Mida that is a tough Mida, but it's not an antagonistic Mida. So when Eish purifies something, whatever comes out is pure, and therefore that can survive an Eish. So Eish has a Metzias that works for that which deserves Eish. I want to elaborate on this point a little bit. What is the Mida? What is Midas HaDin be'ikah pagea? what does Eish pegeh in? In other words, if Midas HaDin is Eish, what is the thing that's most affected by Eish? So when you have a something that is bloated, something that has that has a lot of water, air, etc., you take and you burn it, so you reduce this huge item to a handful of ashes. The gas and the water gets evaporated, and you're left with substance which is very, very small. The midah that is the opposite of that is anava. A person who's an anav does not have fat, bloat, exaggeration. The person is what he is. If you take a person who is bloated and he is full of himself, and midas hadin chashanos pogea, it reduces the person to the bare minimum. And somebody who seemed to be so big and so impressive is not. But when you take somebody who is what he is, so no matter how much you test him, the person remains the same because he is what he is. There's no, it's not fluff, it's not air, it is what it is. And that's a certain sense what the Satan wanted when he wanted to test Eov. The point was to see if something, Lamarshall, if something looks like wood, it has a wood veneer on it, and the wood veneer is placed very, very well, if I put enough stress on it, I push, I pull, I pour chemicals, I do something to it, at some point it's going to give, and the veneer is going to come off the metal or the powdered wood and so on. If something is wood through and through and through, no matter how much pressure I'll put on it, it's not going to change because it is wood. And I'm not going to be able to take the wood off the wood. It is wood. So the Malach Gavriel is a Malach Ha'esh. It's a Midas HaDin, but it's not a Sitna. It's not an opposite. It's something which is there to test the ingredients. Is it him or is it not him? And therefore, David HaMelech, who comes from, who's such humility, and she herself, Tamar, who was willing to forego, you know, everything and be killed because she did not want to hurt somebody, they came through this test unscathed. The midah that he speaks over here about Mitam LeDavid, that he's Tam and he's Mach and all these things, they fit exactly. So what is the Eish going to do? When I reduce something to its lowest common denominator, then you can't reduce it more. You can keep trying. It's not reducing any place. Okay, so Davach Shenold Mahul, Vezo Michtam Shemakose.
The question, Rupiansky?
Yes.
The fact that the Samach Mem came,
yeah,
because if David Amela is going around, he's at the end of the day going to lose his chias, right?
Is correct.
Why is there?
Correct. Anything that has to do, this famous Arizal, that if you take a look at Melech HaMashiach, if you take a look at David HaMelech, he comes from the worst possible Yichus. It starts at Moav. It continues through his Maisa with Tamar and the fact that he was a Bas, that his mother was an Ammonis, and Rus was Ma'avis, and it seems as if every strike against him that you could. And Arizal says, very famous Arizal, he says, the Sitra Achra's greatest mission is to stop the ghoul of the world. And therefore he had to, that seed, that nekuda of Melech HaMashiach had to be snuck in from the back door. That's where you least expect it. So this whole trail of unseemly type of activities all was a hechetimtza to get to. That's the way. That's how you had to hide this nekuda of the. There's a goyin. The goyin says, He speaks about certain nitzaitzes that are called chashmal. They are nitzaitzes of kedusha that seem to live in the most decrepit areas, like in the places where you least expect it. That's where you'll find it. So the Goyen says that's a simen that these nitzotzos have incredible kedusha because they can survive in places where nothing else can survive. So true, when those nekudas are in those places, they're very compressed, they're very hidden. We don't see it. But they must be so powerful that they're able to survive. It's like you take something that's boiling hot and, you know, you're serving boiling hot stuff in the, you know, in a hot climate is one thing. When you're serving it in a very cold place and it's still boiling hot, then you say to yourself, boy, that really must be hot. So the nitzaitzes of kedusha that have the ability to survive within the framework of tumah are much more powerful. That is the that's famous Arizal. Al kolpanim, the second thing he says, davar she nolad mol v'ze michtam shemakosay hoyatam pirush she mesulik mikol apchisa loydov v'shum rav mos ki orlo hu davar mos ve'af ki odem mesalik ha orlo soif. So it's a sign of somebody who's kulay toiv. The fact that he is that so the michtam leDavid means there's a certain tmimus in him, meaning there was kulay toiv. Davacha, which, again, relating back to what we said before, is fascinating. Here we have somebody that we can at best write him off as a Baal Tshuva. From this Ma'is of Yehuda Tamar, from the Ma'is of Mor, from the Ma'is of this, they all are kind of excusable Averis, Basheva, and yet his Noilad Mohol means that he is totally, you know, there's something about him essentially pure. Just fascinating. Okay, finally. Okay, so let's understand a little bit what he's saying over here. The Gemara gives us three different, basically the Pasuk is telling me there's something about her that is relates to Michtam leDavid, to something about David. It's describing her being saved in order to produce David. The Chazal list over here three reasons why David HaMelech was so chashev. Why his Malchus came to him. One is he was Machutam. He generally had another. The second one was Nerad Mol. The third one is that he was ready to learn Torah from everybody. Let's understand a little bit the three daggers. And he says these are three daggers. The three daggers he's referring to are three madrigas that the Maral always talks about. He divides a person into seichel, nefesh, and guf. The guf is the physical person. The nefesh is what we would call midos, my general interaction with people. And sichlius is what we call neshama, understanding, and so on. That's the Maral's chaluk of a person. Let's look at these three milos. The fact that it was a mol means that his guf had kedusha, and it's a certain shleimus haguf. The fact that he was humble in front of everybody, that's a midos thing. That would relate to what we call nefesh. The fact that it was mekabel Torah from everybody, that's called sichlius. let's understand the sort of guf part is easy to understand. The Kedusha is a guf, in Bris and Mila. But let's understand the other two and the distinction between them. If a person is a person who's crass, walks into a crowd of people and he wants to prava godless. Everybody should look at me, everybody should listen to me, everybody should what I say, and so on and so forth. That's a person who's a Baal Gaiva. And a Baal Anava, you know, he respects his person, gives his person his place, and I don't need to occupy anybody's space, and so on and so forth. That's Anava. But at the end of the day, that I should be Makabel Emes from somebody else is a much deeper darga of Anava. Because it's one thing to defer and to say, to say that you're a chashev, a more chashev hamakach than me, takes kochas and nefesh, but I can do that. To be mevatel my das and to listen to what you're saying enough that I could be mekabel it, that requires a real bittel of oneself, something that is really inordinate, because at the end of the day, anyone who has anything to him, this is what I think. For those of you who had the schus of reading 1984, before 1984, there's a statement there, right? That where this was a totalitarian society, which everything was observed and watched by Big Brother, and then the one guy he rebelled by having his own diary and writing his machshavas in it, and then he was caught, and that was so he writes there, freedom is the freedom to think that 2 and 2 equals 4. And when the guy captured him, you know, when he was caught and he was being tortured, the guy explained to him that you're right. And that's why you're not getting out of here until you don't acknowledge that 2 and 2 is what the party says it is. It's not 4, it's not what you want it to be, it's what we say it is. And you know, you hit the nail on the head and he has sent us. That a person should be makabel somebody else's daya and say, you know, butla daiti. That's an incredible, because to us, we are what we understand, and that I should listen to somebody else and be bought to somebody else's daya, that's it's almost an impossibility. So the fact that it was open to learning Torah from somebody else means that this was the ultimate midah of another, and that's why it's the third one. That he says that he would. It says that the Gemara says, "My doiga vaychet teufel and doiga doimi." He humbled himself to learn from them. So learning mikol adam is the ultimate anava, more than the anava of here. You sit up front. You sit up front. I'll sit in the back. Is anava on a nefeshtika level, but I defer to you because I think you've learned through Tosis more times than I have, or you have a better mind than I have, or whatever. That's the ultimate in that type of thing. I want to add another point over here, generally about what he's saying over here. He listed 3 milas. 2 of the 3 milas deal with another. So we understand that another is important. It's a wonderful midah. It's a wonderful midah taiva. Fine. On Moshe Rabbeinu, it says he's anav mikol adam. And we understand that for somebody who's a nice natera, that another means that his kol kula makabel Torah is not his own thing. David HaMelech, what is the inyan? It's a wonderful midah another, but what is the inyan of another to him? What's the main? Why is that shayach to him more than anybody else? So one of the midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu was called Malchus. And Malchus is described as lesle migrome klum. It is a midah that has nothing of its own, which means as follows. Malchus is the bringing out the other. When a melech is supposed to bring out the kochos of the ummah as a nation, that's what a melech is supposed to do. A melech that has own agenda is already not a melech. A melech is kol kulei the am, kol kulei the expression of the am, and a melech is supposed to, on the one hand, there's a demand for absolute fidelity, because you will have a churban if you're not going to have a disciplined nation. So a melech demands absolute fidelity, but the melech himself has to be humble, meaning nothing has to do about him. He is not a player as such. It's the Ummah is the player. That's who the player is. Everything he does is done mach mikrat Ummah, so on and so forth. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu proclaims his malchus and aretz, what it means to us is that we really have no shaykhis to it's not what we want to accomplish. It's what we're doing is kol kulei for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So David HaMelech, the maila of being humble to an extreme is an extremely big maila for malchus. It's a very essential maila for malchus. Okay, someone just told me actually, it's fascinating. I was just an hour ago, 2 hours ago, I visited a person, very sad person. He's a person who grew up, he didn't come from a Lubavitcher family, but he grew up just because of where they lived. The only thing was Lubavitch, and he was a Talmud in Lubavitch in the 60s. He learned the yeshiva there. A very bright person, very, very bright person. He went on to get a doctorate in Harvard. Had a terrible tragedy. His wife died very young, with 40 small children. And basically kind of lives as a recluse since then. He lives a few miles from here, kind of himself, you know, from personally, I'm talking to safer, but I know life really pushed him into a corner, and that's it. So I went to visit him. He's down. So he told me that when he spoke to the Rebbe about going to college, to go to university, he entered a special doctoral program at Harvard. The Rebbe was very adamantly against it. And he said, you know, but listen, this is what Hashem gave me. So the Rebbe told him, Ihr hot a starken Seichel und ihr erwidert sein mevatel sein dem Seichel. A Kodesh Baruch Hu grant you a very strong mind, and your avodas achayim is to mevatel that Seichel. And he said, unfortunately, I didn't listen to his advice, and I've wasted my last 50 years, which I was kind of, you know, it was not an easy exchange. But al kaponim, a melech's darga is kol kulit to be kolit and bring out the Ummah. He's a platform for bringing out the Ummah, so he has to be able to be kolit each person the Ummah and bring him out in a way that is gives his particular koyach, whatever Klal Yisrael is. Okay, let's see another piece over here.
Just a quick question, Rabbi.
Sure.
I don't understand how the idea of a melech representing the Am and bringing out the Am applies to our relationship with Hashem, where it would seem it's the opposite, that we're only everything without the Rabbanu Shalom.
So it's correct. So by us, the melech is the one that brings out, he brings out the midah of malchus in Klal Yisrael. The melech is, that's why it says Lev Melochim is Yad Hashem. It means, you're right, it's the flip side of it. When we do malchus, when we're oisik in avodas hamalchus, we're mevatle ourselves and see ourselves only as a kli for Ribbono Shel Olam. Whereas whereas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whereas a melech, his job is to bring out malchus and Klal Yisrael. That Klal Yisrael should act as a malchus, meaning as a platform for the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that oifin is by bringing out everything from the Ummah, not from, it's not about himself, it's the Ummah. See, right, there's a certain opposite over there.
Mm-hmm.
I want to add something, I guess, apropos to this point over here. So we're saying, you know, the b'china of malchus as a grami klum, total is batlus, like he says over here, three is batlus, the seichel, this and that. The sfarim, the chassidish sfarim say the following nekuda, and it's interesting nekuda. If we're to ask ourselves, it says in Chazal, a limud schus, mimeni yotza dava, that Akash Baruch Hu said, I engineered this whole thing over here. It all came from me. So they explain something along the lines of, there was an unnatural taiva, an inconquerable taiva, built together with some mistakes that made this avera inevitable in order that it should come from it. That's more or less the way a lot of Sfarim explain me many yards. Adava, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I mean, it's pretty much, whatever it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I engineered this. So they understand it as being a situation where Bechira could not really have functioned. So we think about it as an excuse. And there's an old Jewish joke about a pirate. You know, every pirate had his Jew who ran his estate. Kids, the pirates had a big party, and he asked the Jew if he would, you know, he invited the Jew to eat with him. He declined politely. He offered him shrimp cocktail, and he said no, thank you. And again, finally, in the middle of the meal, he asked him, "Do you never eat?" He said no. He said, "I don't say something." And if let's say, you know, somebody is sick, deathly ill, and he needs to take it, he also can. He says, no, if it's pikuach nefesh, we're allowed to. So he pulls out a gun, and he says, drank the wine. Pulls out the gun again, eat the meat. So when he finished, the guy left, and he said, I hope you meichel me. I only meant it as a joke. He said, I'm not meichel you. He said, why? He says, could you not have started the joke early in the meal? That's an old Yiddish. You know, when we look at it, Zekash Baruch Hu is Bechira, you know, for someone as a Baal Nefesh, that is the most horrible thing. It means if I lost my Bechira, I became Batel. It's like, you know, if you ever have somebody fix your computer from a distance, so you, whatever it is, you give the password, and all of a sudden you see the cursor moving, and somebody else is working on a computer. And it's very eerie because you've lost control over it, and someone else is moving it. This is his batlus of Yehuda's bechira switch had been overridden for an important stretch of time. That's a bitul of Tzuras Adam. That's an incredible the fact that he was a person to whom it could happen. I don't know if the right word says would allow it to happen, is part of this same midah of being totally bottled to Ribbono Shalom. It's, you know, I'm be'etzem, I'm a kli to Ribbono Shalom. And those mitzvahs that he wants you to do through Bechira, I do through Bechira. Those inyanim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be done through me, whatever it is, then they're done through me. The lack of Bechira is a certain hisbatlus. So yes, it was not conscious, and he didn't think about it, obviously, and so on. But it means that he was the Chetimtza. He was the Chetimtza that could have something else totally there. If you contrasted Yehuda and Yosef, so Yehosef has three letters of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. The last piece, and that's because Yosef on his own was Misgaba. So Yosef created a Kiddush Hashem of his own and added that to Shem Hashem. So you have Yud Kei Vav, and then you have Yosef's name, which is a Tosefes. Ma'isa Adam was Moshe, that's a tremendous thing. Yehuda has Hashem's name, and like we learned before, and he has a Dalet, which Chazal say means is Meloshen Dalos. Dalet is Lesser Migrom Meklum, Gmoil Dalet, Gimel Dalet, Gmoil Dalet. So the Dalet is something which has nothing of its own. It's a Pchin of Lesser Migrom Meklum, and therefore Yehuda's name, Yehuda's essence is a Tziruf of entirely HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and nothing himself. The Dalet says, I have nothing for myself, therefore it's called HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's like when you're going someplace with a car and somebody comes and says, can I put my baggage in the car? Do you have room? And I say, I'm not taking anything of mine, so you have it all. That's a certain sense of Yehuda did. Yosef's Maila Mida was, he uses Bechira in a very strong way and added Kvod Shemayim. Yehuda was Mevatl himself. This Maisa was a tremendous hashpalah for him. And whether he chose it or not, but he was the one chosen for it because he's the right person. And the pshat was, I have nothing of mine. It's kol kuloi what the Rebbe wants to do. I'm just a kli. And if he needs to use me, the kli, to short circuit my bechira, and to in order to realize Ratzon Hashem, then so be it. That's an extraordinary amkus of what it is. We'll finish.
This might have been sorry. The question that was asked before, if it was the question, I didn't understand the answer. If Malchus is Leis Migrami Klum, then the Malchus of a Kadosh Baruch Hu is the exact opposite, which doesn't, I don't understand. I mean, if Malchus of it says Malchus of mankind is supposed to be Ke'ein Malchus Derekiah.
So let me explain a little more clearly. The Midas of a Kadosh Baruch Hu are expressions of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And we have 9 Midas that express Chochma and Bina and so on. They express HaKadosh Baruch Hu's manifestation in this world in different ways. There is one more Mida that stands stands parallel to all of it and is an extraordinary parallel Gilui. It's when the Bria reflects the Midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu from within. So, for instance, you know, you have these bodies where you radiate heat on it, and then it gives back all the heat. In as much as the body absorbs some of the heat, it's deficient. It is ideal when all the heat that was absorbed by that body gets re-radiated when the primary source is off. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created one set of giluyim by the maisim he does. second set of giluyim by what the Bria does, reflecting whatever it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the Bria. The perfection of that Mida is when zero of the Bria becomes Me'uriv in it, and Kol Kuloi, it reflects what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had shown on it. So something that reflects the light you've shown on it 100% is perfect. We don't have anything like that. So every time we shine something on another surface, it gets reflected with some aberration, with some absorption, with some distortion, because the agent that I'm reflecting off, the mirror or whatever it is, it's got some of its own essence. And when Ta'ir Eretz Mechvoidecha is the ideal of Chinas Malchus. So for us, Malchus is best, is realized when we have nothing of our own and everything reflects HaKadosh Baruch Hu's type. That becomes a Hanhag of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has 9 Midas that are come from him as Ashpa, and a 10th Gilui that is the world reflecting back all HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into it. And that's where the world comes into play. That's the Pchinas Malchus.
So it's the Lesa Migrami Klum. My thought was that Melech has to reflect the Am, but he's reflecting Kadosh Baruch Hu, or it's both.
So the Melech, Melech is both. The Melech connects Klal Yisrael to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore the Melech's job is to fit. On the one hand, on a very partial level, his job is to make sure that the nation is a holy nation, doing what they're supposed to do, and so on and so forth. That's one part of a Melech. And the second part of Malach is to create that Am, to make sure that each and every piece is there, and he could mess up things by putting his own self into it. When his own shikulim are involved, that becomes a way of messing it up also. So you're right, Malach is in both directions.
And it's more by Malchus, it's different than Malchus based David than it is by Malchus of Yosef. That's what Rabbi was saying.
100%. Yes. Malchus based David, that's why it lasted. Malchus, Yosef was a greater person in a sense than Yehuda. He withstood. Listen, the Torah contrasts that. Torah contrasts Yehuda you know, having a whatever it is, and Yosef pulling strong. I mean, Torah puts two parts next to each other. It's for a reason. It's very easy to see the contrast. And yet, because of the midas of the ultimate that David manifests, that Yehuda, and, you know, thereby David manifests, that's the ultimate midah that's chashev for the bria. It's like when you have to pick a person for certain jobs. Let's give a marshal. Imagine you have a company that's developing very well, and you know it's moving forward, and you need to hire a crucial player in the company. So you come to me and you tell me you want to hire the person who's best at this job, who can sell the stuff best, produce it best, whatever it is. I tell you, there's something more important than that, and that is loyalty. If the guy is a fantastic, fantastic person, but he's learning your business and gonna open up a competition, then this person is not a good fit to be in your business. You're looking for somebody who is first and foremost on your boat. Now, once the person is with you, so if he's more competent, there'll be more profit. But to take somebody who's phenomenally competent, but he's out for his own agenda, he's either embezzling or he's going to make his own company, then the better he is, the worse off you are. This is the crucial piece. If I to ask myself, what is the most important quality for somebody I'm hiring to work for me? The answer would be ne'amanus, in every sense of the word. Then from the people that are ne'aman, I choose the person that is most competent. That makes sense.
It seems like Yosef also has an important part, yes. even Bachris Hayamim, meaning according to this, it sounds just like Yehuda's better than Yosef. Yosef must have some mila that it's actually important.
Well, first of all, it says Mashiach and Yosef comes first. So let's understand something. Let's take a simple in Kochus and Nefesh. A person who doesn't do very much, and he praves anivus. A person comes, I ask him, "Nu, did you? I don't know, raise money for tzedakah that was needed? Did you build the shul? Did you do X, Y, or Z?" And the person answers to you, rolls his eyes, and says, "Everything's in Ibrahim Shalom's hands. Whatever, if a Kach Baruch Hu wants it, it's going to be, and if not, not." So somebody who's a little cynical might say that this person is lazy. He's not such a big mevatel himself to Dasa Kach Baruch Hu, but he's on the lazy side. So that's what a cynical person might think. But if you have a person who's extremely, extremely, but let's take an example. Let's speak about something. My brother, Reb Nosson Tzvi Zichrono Livracha, was one of the most energetic builders of Torah in Klal Yisrael. He, for years, dreamt of building a yeshiva in America. And somebody offered him money, and he worked very hard trying to get it. And he pushed it with come, and everybody tried to dissuade him, and he was bullheaded. No way.
Turn off the recording?
What?
Should I turn off the recording?
The mirror recording. You can leave on the you can have the censored version, uncensored version. And then, this is my brother.
You have a spy here.
Yeah. The collusion. My other brother, he was in America on one of his trips, and somebody told him no. And it wasn't such a crucial piece. And Russell Svi said, then, okay, then I'm off the, you know, then I'm not doing anything in America. So at that point, Russell said, you know, you've done so much established already, it's just a small piece, it's an unimportant piece, it's not that important, whatever. And he said, no. He said, I feel the Rebbeinu Shalom doesn't want it. I feel, whatever it is, my intuition is, that's not a Ratzon HaBayirei. So when you kill yourself to do something, and then you stop short and say, but the most important thing is it the Ratzon HaBayirei or not? That is the meter we're talking about. So you have to start with Yosef. Yosef is a person that pushed his free will to the utmost to do what he's supposed to do. And that's the first yisoid of anybody who's over Hashem and the Klal Yisrael. David HaMelech's yisoid is, the failures where I failed are because it's Ratzon Hashem and whatever it is, he fought wars and gathered materials to build the Beis HaMikdash. And he came to Hashem to build the Beis HaMikdash and said, yes, but you not. And so that was also Boret. The his battles of Terosna Boret. Rav Hutner writes to his daughter in a letter that when their daughter was born, he writes personal Hargosh about it. He said, you find two milas about women in Tanakh and Chazal. One is a woman who's very accomplished and own, and one is a woman who's mevatel to her husband, does everything for her husband's sake, what he needs, what he wants. He said, the truth is, those two milas are complementary. In other words, they need to be both by a woman. So the bracha was she should be highly accomplished, but kula dedicated to husband, or something like that. I'm more or less paraphrasing it. Okay, I'll go put him. So next week, Be'ez Hashem, I should be able to do a shir. And then after that, I think we're off for the summer. It's gonna be too sporadic. It's not worth it. So Be'ez Hashem, next week, I should be able. It should not be an issue. And then afterwards, it's going to be. I'm not going to be around, and so on.
I usually update it on the calendar. If anyone wants to check before shir, they can look at your Google Calendar. You'll find it.
The Seder, see, that's it.
Just feel bad if people are coming up and they don't know that it's canceled.
You can play a rerun on this thing if it's have somebody bang.
Can I ask Akasha?
Yes.
Is there any reason why it's the Maaseh with Batsheva is said in the pasuk to be Vayera Sadavar Hazeh B'Einei Hashem and not? I mean, I don't know. I know it's a big topic of discussion, but it seems to be a very specific lashon topic of discussion whether it's an aveira or not. But it says a lashon of
because Eich Shelo Yeh, Chazal tell us that it was something which was it wasn't a technical aveira, but it was not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted of him, expected of him. It belonged to that area of let's call it. The ruach of the din, she was technically mutter to him, but he was doing something very wrong. So be'enei Hashem, it says ein l'dayin ha'mashen avros. There's a certain it means, you know, in the bigger picture as opposed to technical detail. Okay, b'seder gemor.
Thank you.
Shabbos.
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 Shabbos.